Last week, you only go around once, so eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy life. Very common philosophy, not scriptural. We are not here to have fun. We are here to serve Jesus. Amen? And today's is very similar. Today's is take care of me first. It's all about me. It's all about making myself happy, pleasing me. And here in Philippians 2, we have an example of this. It says there in verse 21 that Philippians 2:21, they all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Talking about those who have fallen away from the Lord. It's talking about Christians in this context. And it says they seek their own. In other words, they seek what makes them happy rather than seeking, as it says there, Jesus Christ. And this is a common problem, is it not? I mean, last week we looked at the end times, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And they shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. And then let's go to 2 Peter 2:10 and we'll look at another one. 2 Peter 2:10. So this philosophy of putting self first, in other words, me first, please me first, it sounds good and it feels good, but it's, again, not scriptural. So 2 Peter 2:10 says, whose turn? Brother Scott, would you read that and then we'll pray. So this is talking about the world, not Christians, but notice it says self-willed. All about pleasing self, self-will, whatever self wants, self should get. That is the philosophy. And selfishness is natural. It's part of the old man, is it not? Pleasing the old man first, but that doesn't make it right. And the problem with selfishness is once we decide to put our selfish desires first, then what God says and what God wants takes second place. And that just leads to sin and problems in our Christian lives. So we'll pray and we will evaluate this philosophy in light of Scripture. Lord, I pray now that you give us your wisdom. And Lord, that we may be always on the lookout for these wrong thinking patterns that the devil throws our way, and that we might always combat them with your truth, and Lord, do what you want us to do right. So thank you for your word and the privilege to study it together and use it in our lives. Now in Christ's name we ask this. Amen. We even saw this, Howard, if you could read Mark 10:37, in the disciples. Remember at the end of toward the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they came to Jesus and, well, they actually, two of the brothers sent their mother to Jesus to ask for something. So Howard, read it there in Mark 10:37.
They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory.
So was this a selfish request? Absolutely. We, of all the 12 disciples, Lord, we, the Sons of Thunder, James and John, we want to be the ones that get to sit on your right hand and on your left hand, what? In thy glory. In other words, in heaven, the heaven of the entire universe, out of how many billions of people that have ever been born, can you choose the two of us to sit on your right hand and your left hand in heaven?
That'd be pretty awkward.
So it was a very selfish request, was it not? It was about them. But this has been around a little while, has it not? The Garden of Eden. When they decided to partake of the fruit that they were forbidden to take, that was a selfish decision. It wasn't what God wanted. God had already told them what he wanted. He only gave them one command, not a bunch of commands, just one. And that is, don't take of that tree. It's your garden. It's your earth. Just don't take of that tree. And that's the one thing they did. Why? Because the devil said it looked good and it would give them more knowledge. It would make them like gods. And so they made a decision that day to pursue in our counseling class is called the desire-oriented life versus the obedience-oriented life. And many times those two do not agree. And we're going to talk about that in the morning service. But as soon as we step over that line and say, it's more about what I want, it's more about what makes myself happy, and we go down that desire-oriented path, it won't be long before we aren't on the obedience-oriented path. We're now on the self path. And it's going to lead us to disobedience, which, of course, is not pleasing to the Lord. But this is one of the devil's tricks, isn't it? To make people believe that they just can't do what God wants them to do because it's not what they want. Right? How many people, you've heard people say, well, I know God wants me to, what, do this, insert whatever you want, but I just don't feel like it, or I don't feel like it suits me, or whatever. In other words, it's what about me? What about what I want? Well, no, it's supposed to be what about what God wants. And that should be our focus. So, we're to put God first. Amen? And God's word, God's commands, they must come first. And self needs to take the back burner. So, most of you know Matthew 6:33. You want to quote it for us, Brent, since you were going to read it next? But seek ye first. Good. Word for word, he got it. So seek ye what? First. Amen? See that word first? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now the context there is Jesus talking about what are you going to eat? What are you going to wear? In other words, things to please the body. Yes? What does Jesus say? Seek first. Put first what God says. Put first God's righteousness. Put first what is in part of God's kingdom and his word. And then all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God's going to take care of you. But if you seek first what you need, what you think you want, what pleases the flesh, then you're going down that dangerous path of self-will. The Bible says that true joy comes from putting God and others first, doesn't it? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Acts 20:35. And then Luke 9:23, we'll look at another one. Did you read yet, Howard? You did. Philip, could you read Luke 9:23 for us? This is actually one of the things we looked at family camp 2 years ago when we did our study on self. And one of the messages was on selfishness. And that selfishness is not aligned with God's will. And yet, that is one of the worldly philosophies that is everywhere. And it's gotten worse and worse. As long as you are happy, everything's good, right? Make sure you do whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you feel good, whatever pleases you. And then God's will, God's word takes a back burner. And the result, of course, is sin. So God says that we will actually be more content in our Christian lives if we put him first and then others first. Then we will find what we're seeking through selfishness, which is contentment and joy and peace. But it's not found by seeking those things. It's found by seeking God first and what God wants, which is not how the world thinks, is it? So Jesus, of course, was our example. Let's look at some scriptures together. Philippians chapter 2, Roy, verses 5 through 7. and see the example of our Lord in this matter of, do we put me first or God first? Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was, what mind is that? He took upon him the form of a servant. Did Jesus have to take on the form of a servant as the God of the universe? No. But he did it to be what? An example to us. He took upon him the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, this mind of a servant. God says, if you have that mind, then you'll be in the center of God's will. Jesus, many times, talking about his own ministry, said, the Son of Man came not to be, what, ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. And he came to be that example of a servant. And that is all throughout the scriptures. One example in Matthew chapter 20, let's look there, 26 to 28. Ezra, if you would read those for us. Matthew chapter 20, 26 to 28. And here Jesus is talking about how God measures greatness in Christians. Whosoever would be great among you, let him be your minister. He said later on in chapter 23, verse 11, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. So one of the ways that God measures greatness is in servanthood. Do we have that servant's heart? So God did not save us to focus on self, to focus on pleasing self. He saved us that we might focus on pleasing him and others, to serve others. We used to do a Sunday school song to the tune of Jingle Bells. It was J-O-Y. This spells joy to me. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Cute little J-O-Y acronym there. Jesus, others, yourself. It sounds very simple, but it's actually very true, isn't it? So we put God first, we're here to serve others, self last. The worldly philosophy has that completely flipped the other way, says self first. Please me first. So, are the scriptures consistent in telling us that we're to serve others? And does it show up a few times in the Bible? Absolutely. Let's look at some examples. Mark. Romans 12:10, if you would. We'll pass out. Kelvin, Romans 15, 1 to 3. We'll go from there. So Romans 12:10, Mr. Zeus. And we'll see how it permeates the New Testament that we are here to serve others.
Be kindly affectionate one to another. The brotherly love, the honor, preferring one another.
Preferring one another. And then Kelvin, Romans 15, 1 to 3. You see that phrase, not to please ourselves. We are not here to be selfish. Even Christ pleased not himself. And notice it says, please his neighbor for his good to edification. All right, let's look at some more. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Brad. And 10:24, James. And 10:33, Cash. So go ahead, Brad, 1 Corinthians 9:19. And then 10:24, James. And then 10:33, Cash. That word profit is not talking about money, by the way. It's talking about the benefits for others, which you can profit in other ways than just money. But notice it says, all men in all things, there in 1 Corinthians 10:33. So Paul says, I am here to serve. I'm here to do my best to serve others and put others first, which is the opposite of selfishness. And then we saw there in Philippians 2, where we're to have the mind of Christ. Let's see, 1 Timothy 6:18. Any more readers? Okay, Mr. Scott, could you read that? 1 Timothy 6:18.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, wanting to communicate.
So here, Paul is telling Timothy what one of the things he needs to be preaching to his flock, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Again, that's not just talking about physical things, although that is a big part of it. And then it says, willing to communicate. That is not talking about talking to each other. That's talking about doing acts of service for one another. So he says, that is what God wants from us, that we be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, put others first and not be selfish. So this is a biblical principle all throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, that if we'll put others first and put God first, then God blesses us. But if we put self first, then God has to chastise us. But the world says self first, me first, right? Let's look at more Scriptures in the Old Testament as well. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, Howard, if you would. And we'll see if this is even an Old Testament principle that we put others first. So Proverbs 11, 24 and 25.
There is that scathing and yet increase, and there is that holdeth more, and it meets but the tender to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
So, if you combine the two verses, verse 24, he scattereth, and yet verse 25, the liberal soul. So that word liberal is not talking about politics. It's talking about willing to give. Someone who's liberal with what they have. And he says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. In other words, as we focus on others, and as we're willing to scatter, God promises to take care of us. That's how he designed it to work. Let's see if there's more. Proverbs 13:7, Brent.
There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches.
So how would we make ourselves poor? By being liberal. And God says he'll take care of us, right? Given it shall be given unto you. Let's look at some more. 22:9, Philip, Proverbs. So this word bountiful, it's talking about having an eye to be bountiful to others, right? To be willing to give. And God says that a person with a bountiful eye, what? Giveth of his bread to the poor. He's willing to put others first. And of course, New Testament now, Luke 6:38, most of you know it, but let's look at it. Roy, if you would read that for us. So this isn't just talking about money or things, although that's a big part of it. And no, we're not to give to get. That's not the point of the verse. I hear people misquoting it all the time and trying to put that spin on it. Just keep giving more and you'll get more. That's not the point of the verse, is it? No, the point of the verse is that we are generous with what we have because we're trying to be a blessing to others. And if we will be that kind of a Christian, then God will take care of us. And that is a scriptural principle all through. Let's look at another one, Mark Zeus, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. And what we're finding is that God, in His sovereignty, has decided that the system that works in His program is if we will put Him and others first, then He'll take care of us. If we put ourselves first, then He has to chastise us. Mr. Zeus, chapter 9, 6 through 8 of 2 Corinthians. I love the end of verse 8. All grace, all sufficiency, all things. But that promise is given not to everybody. That promise is given to those who are what? Willing to give bountifully. Now, a lot of people take this as just talking about giving your offerings at church, and that's part of it. That's not the whole context, though. Is God wants us to be bountiful with what we have to others and to Him. And if we will do that, what does God say? He'll then in turn take care of us. That's His promise there. He will make all grace abound toward you, that you have all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. This is God's principle. It always has been that if we will be generous with what we have, He'll in turn take care of us. Which is the opposite of selfishness, to put God first. And then 1 John 3:17, Kelvin, if you would read that, just another example of the scriptural principle that is in contrast to this worldly principle.
But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his belt and compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
So it goes both ways. If we put ourselves first, we're not going to enjoy the blessings of the Christian life that God intends for us. But if we put self first also, we will often then be living in disobedience in certain areas of our Christian lives to God's clear commands because we don't feel like it or it doesn't suit us. Or how many times have you heard people say, I just don't feel right about it or whatever? And if you're using that phrase to talk about obedience to Scripture, then you're putting self first and not God first. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your comfort level. It's about God and about God's Word. And again, we'll talk about that here in a few moments in the morning service, but 1 Samuel 15 sums it up. So let's turn there, which will be our passage this morning. Just kind of worked out that way. Cash, can you read verses 22 and 23 of 1 Samuel 15? Samuel 15:22-23. And we're going to break this down in the morning service, but do you see what God is saying there? That obedience is everything. And we are commanded to love our neighbors ourselves, right? We're commanded to put others first. We're commanded to put God and His kingdom first. So obedience is everything with the Lord. Selfishness just leads to disobedience, which God likens there to witchcraft. which obviously all of us would be appalled that we would be involved in witchcraft, but that's what God likens disobedience to. So, put myself first, not a scriptural principle. It is definitely a worldly philosophy, and it's gotten worse and worse. But can it creep into Christianity? Absolutely. Can anybody think of any examples where it could creep into Christianity? Just some of the basics? Where people say, yes, but I'm not in the mood, or I don't feel